Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, that was pretty good. All right, thank you and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We'd like to throw out a very special welcome to Blake Bradford, our district superintendent, who happens to be here this morning, so welcome. All right, now to the announcements. Thanks to everyone who helped out for Hog in the Hill this week. It was a great success. We still have a few auction items left. So go get those or those will go to somebody else. So go check that out. Today is Laity Sunday and we are honored to have Diane Wright, Jenny Curris, and Caleb Conrad speaking this morning with messages, and we're glad to have them here. Asbury is also putting together a boys and girls basketball team. So if you've got hoop dreams, sign up for that. The pumpkin patch is also going great. The great pumpkin has not quite made it yet. But if we keep watching, you can go buy your pumpkins right out there. See the information in the bulletin for Terrific Tuesday coming on November 6th. The Garth Travis Band, which includes our own Todd Mead, will be playing during the luncheon. Thanks to everyone who has turned in their pledge card and their covenant form. For those who have not, they can be given to an usher or turned into the office. And finally, don't forget the district-wide charge conference this afternoon at 3 p.m. at St. James United Methodist Church. All are welcome for that. And please look on the back of the bulletin for details about these and other things going on in the life of Asbury. Please stand and greet each other with the peace of Christ. Join me in the call to worship. Trust in the Lord.
The Lord God, an everlasting God.
Worship the Lord in holy array.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected our prayer or removed his steadfast love from us.
All right, let's all sing the hymn of praise, Be Thou My Vision, number 451.
Oh,
join me in the affirmation of faith, printed in your bulletin. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be a church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate that y'all came to church and that you're willing to come down front. It's kind of scary up here sometimes, I'm sure. I want to visit with you a while. I'm Rustin Pierce, and I want to ask you some questions. And you may think they're hard questions or they may be easy questions. So I want you to think about this. First question, who likes to get presents? Okay, there's one person. Okay, so the other one. This is not going to work out. Presents. Getting gifts is a special thing. We get gifts, and it makes us happy. There are certain times of year that you might get a gift. You might expect to get a gift. When would you think you might get a present? A birthday. I think that's good. Yeah. When? Ma'am? I can't hear that. Okay, so there are certain times of the year that you might expect to get a present, and a birthday is certainly one. I'm trying to not celebrate birthdays, but these days are, these special days like Christmas, Easter, Halloween. I'm not sure that we need to be celebrating Halloween, but all these times that we get gifts, it's usually times that we are celebrating something. Well, you know, God gives gifts, and I know two of them today: sunshine and cool temperatures. It's two gifts today. God gives gifts every day. Instead of just special times of the year that you might get a gift, God considers every day a celebration day. And that we can expect that God loves us enough to give us gifts. Miss Jenny is going to give a little message a little bit later, and she's going to talk about several of God's gifts. And one of them is the gift of encouragement. The gift God gives of encouragement. Encouragement. Does anybody know what that means? Encouragement. Huh? Belief? That's close. But I can tell you that encouragement is a word that comes from courage. Do you know what courage? Belief. To be brave, exactly. Be brave, to have strength, that's courage. Encourage means you are trying to help, you're trying to boost somebody else's courage, somebody else's strength. So this is a gift that God has made available to us. We need to think about The other question, instead of whether we like to receive gifts, what is it about giving gifts? Do you like to give gifts? Why would somebody give a gift? What does that mean? To me, it means that somebody's trying to make you happy. Yeah? That would be a great gift. That would, and every day. Think of that every day. But giving gifts is to make you happy. It's someone sacrificing something of themselves to help another. And God does this. He has sacrificed greatly in giving gifts. Remember that giving gifts is more important than receiving gifts. God is love. This is why he does it. And so this is why your parents might give you a gift, is for love, to make you happy. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us to see all the gifts that you provide for us. Help us to love, understand that you love us and that we need to love each other. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Good job, guys. All right, as we enter now into a time of prayer, I want to draw your attention to the prayers requests in the bulletin. We've got Charlie Ward Sr., Mary Jane Patton, Marilyn Thompson, Anita Curris, Laura Stinnett, Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, the MacArthur family, and Ann McInturf on the death of her grandson. All right, so let's take this time and bow our heads. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, on this Laity Sunday, we are reminded that we are part of one body, but we are called as individuals within the body, individuals called to exercise the gifts you have given us to edify your church and extend your kingdom here on earth. When you call us as children and new members into your holy family, we are to be doers of your word. All of us become part of a holy priesthood with Jesus as our high priest. Help us to remember that we all have a part in the priesthood, to be holy and righteous in your sight, showing the world the majesty and glory of your Son. Father, this morning we lift those who are sick, those who are in the hospital, and those who are hurting. Grant peace and comfort to all of these in their time of pain, whether it's from illness or loss of a loved one. We also lift up Jenny to you. Speak to us through the message you have laid on her heart. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, as the ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Gracious provider, we thank you for the blessings you so richly pour upon us, your children. May we extend those blessings to those in need to truly show the love you first showed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, number 408, The Gift of Love.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? Good morning. And welcome to Laity Sunday. This is a day when we celebrate the ministry of all lay Christians, and that includes all of you. We appreciate everything you do to support the body of Christ, the church, and to go out from here and make disciples in a world that could really use some good news. I looked up Laity Sunday on the Methodist website, and one of the people they mentioned was Francis Asbury. So as we sit here today in Asbury United Methodist Church, named in honor of Francis Asbury, who along with Thomas Coke was one of the first missionaries to America of the Wesleyan movement that we now know as Methodism. And during that movement, Asbury and Coke carried on the legacy of course, John Wesley and Charles Wesley by equipping, empowering, and for my purposes today, encouraging laity, lay members, to be in ministry. There were not a lot of ordained clergy in the United States in those days. So it was truly the ministry of the laity that sustained all those churches they planted and sustained the Methodist movement. But I wonder today, are we as today's Methodist lay members still empowering and encouraging others to know Jesus Christ and to be in ministry? Because we still outnumber the ordained clergy by a large number. So to start, I would like to share with you one of my favorite scripture passages from Romans chapter 12. And I actually love this whole chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, and I highly recommend it if you or someone you know is in need of a little attitude adjustment, because it's great for that. But today we are just going to read verses 4 through 12. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is in giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, let's pray for a minute. Gracious God, your word tells us that you have given us gifts for doing things well. Help us to realize our gifts and use them so that your will be done. Amen. So this is one of several passages in the New Testament, primarily in Paul's letters, that talk about spiritual gifts. Special abilities given through the Holy Spirit. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's an entirely different list of additional spiritual gifts. So I don't know about you, but whenever I read through a list like this with gifts that we're supposed to have, I always think, I wonder which gift I'm supposed to have or supposed to use. Several years ago in this church, we had an opportunity to do a spiritual gifts inventory. Do y'all remember that? It was sort of a big list of questions and preferences that we went through, and then you scored it to determine what your spiritual gifts might be. The results were pretty interesting, sometimes surprising. I even had to look up the definition of one of my alleged gifts, which was discernment. I really didn't know exactly what that meant or what I was supposed to do with it. But 1 Corinthians 12:17 tells us, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So back to our passage from Romans. As I read through that list of spiritual gifts, the one that stood out to me was encouragement. You know, I don't know if that was because I think it seems to me that that should be one of the easier gifts for us to possess or develop, or whether I think that it's a gift that is really widely given, but maybe not widely used. In my opinion, almost anyone who has ever helped with children's ministries or youth group or led a scout troop or coached a team or served as a confirmation mentor or any kind of mentor or taught a skill, whether it's music or woodworking or computer programming, has used the gift of encouragement. You know, I had a wonderful experience a couple of weeks ago. I had an opportunity to attend a worship experience performed by Jen Hatmaker, who's a Christian author and speaker, and Nicole Nordman, who is a Christian singer-songwriter. It was sponsored by Pulaski Heights United Methodist, and it was held down at Robinson Auditorium. The event was attended primarily by women, and I attended with six of my fellow Asbury lay women, and it was a great night of fellowship and inspiration and encouragement. For those of you who may not be familiar with Jen Hatmaker, she has written several books and Bible studies aimed primarily at women. She has a very down-to-earth and humorous writing style, a bit irreverent at times, but it really resonates with me. So she's the daughter of a Southern Baptist preacher. She's the wife of a pastor. She's the mother of five children, the youngest two who were adopted from Ethiopia. She and her husband, Brandon, have been active in church ministry since their early 20s, and they now pastor Asbury New Church in Texas, which is associated with the Free Methodists. I had to look that up too. That is an evangelical branch of Methodism that split off from the Methodist Episcopal Church some time ago. But I can relate really well to her messages. Here is one quote from her book, For the Love, Fighting for Grace in a World of Impossible Standards. In a chapter that is entitled, Dear Church, she writes this: we overcomplicate the ways of Jesus. Love God. Love people. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly. Treat people as you want to be treated. If you want to be great, be a servant. Okay, so I brought a prop today. If we were in the launch service, I could throw this picture up on the screen, but you are going to get a poor reproduction on a poster board. This is a copy of a saying that hangs on the wall of Jen Hatmaker's home office outside of Austin, Texas. Love God, love people, the end. You can't see it in the back. Next time you should sit up a little closer, okay? I often think that the literature should say, let's pass the peace of Christ and move up about five rows. Okay. So love God, love people. What a great reminder of what Jesus told us in Matthew 22 was the first and greatest commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And a second that Jesus said was equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. So encouragement. You know, I know I would not be standing here today if I had not in some odd way been encouraged by Pastor Mary and Pastor Doug that I could stand up here and do this. It's not something that I ever thought of asking to do. Baker and I have been members of Asbury now for 34, 35 years. We really can't remember if we joined in 1983 or 1984. But it was shortly after the church moved to this location, which was 1982. David Wilson was the pastor, and he was very welcoming. But it was truly the hospitality and the encouragement of the lay members that led us to join this church. I clearly remember that Jane New and Dick Carr greeted us and welcomed us every single time we visited. They invited us to Sunday school. They encouraged us to come back. You know, over the years, my family has been so encouraged by members of this church, many who sadly are no longer with us. Bill Jones, Wally G, and Judy G, Claude L. Stoker, Edna Crone, Harry Donaldson, Geneva Harwell. You know, I could go on and on and on. They always had a hug, a smile, and a positive word for us and our children. And I hope we can always share that type of encouragement with others. But let me also tell you what I think encouragement is not. I don't think it's cheerleading or just blind optimism. Sometimes it's reassurance. Yes, you know, we lost the game. You failed that test. You didn't get the job. But I know you can do better. Get up and try again. You know, sometimes encouragement also involves correction. When we read through Paul's letters in the New Testament, we clearly see he was writing to encourage the churches. A few years ago, I did a Bible study on Paul's letters, and one of the lessons was to go and look at the openings and the closings of each of his letters. So there's 13 or 14, depending on whether you think that he wrote Hebrews. But they're very similar, and he doesn't open with "Dear Church." He opens with things like, "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Or, "We thank God for you and pray for you constantly." The letters all closed with something like, "Greet each other with Christian love." Or, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Grace, love, peace, mercy, over and over. Loving words, words of encouragement. But you know, in between those openings and closings, Paul told some truth, didn't he? He told some hard truths and issued some pretty strong rebukes. In his letter to the Galatians, right after his really kind opening, he writes this: "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but that is not the good news at all." So in my mind, encouragement doesn't include correction, admonishment, reprimand, warning. In fact, I often think it's a vital part of encouragement. Again, if you've ever assisted with children's ministry, youth group, coaching, teaching, you realize that to be effective, you need to occasionally correct behaviors that have gotten off course, right? When I looked up the word admonish in the concordance in the back, because I wanted to know kind of what that meant. So there wasn't a definition, but it led me to two other words, and they were warn and encourage. I thought that was kind of interesting. So another one of my favorite passages from one of Paul's letters is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And I think it's a great example of encouragement with admonishment. Here we go. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, did you notice the use of the word must in that passage? That is what your English teacher in high school would have called an imperative, right? It's not a suggestion. You must. Also, let's not only expect encouragement from our leaders, whether that's a teacher or a coach or a member of the clergy. We, whether students or team members or laity, are also to encourage them and encourage each other. Paul writes again in Romans 1:12, "When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours." So I want to say, take a minute to say a few words about another person who's encouraged me and my family over the past 25 years, and that is our dear pastor emeritus, Tom Weir. And still encouraging me to this day. You know, when Brother Tom was appointed to Asbury, it was 1993, and we, the Kouros family, qualified as a young family in those days. So our children were 8, 5, and 2. Our intention was to attend worship every Sunday as a family. We typically aimed for the 8:30 worship service in the sanctuary. There was no contemporary worship in those days. And we usually would arrive right down here in our seats about the last verse of the first hymn. Usually. Honestly, sometimes it was a Gloria Patri. And as long as the congregation was still standing, we considered it a win. So, you know, for those of you who have young children and bring them today, God bless you. I think it's interesting that my oldest daughter, Madeline, who's the only one not here today, she's out of town, but she often would get a little miffed that we could not get to church on time. I think it's with a 3-year-old now, she kind of understands. So the struggle is real, people. So after all that, so we're in our seats and we take a deep breath, and now it's time for the children's sermon. So in those days, should I say maybe our church budget didn't include a full-time children's minister. It didn't. So usually the senior pastor would give the children's moments. And what I remember most about Brother Tom's children's sermons were how they often ended, where he had put a hand on his own head, and he would say, "Remember who you are. You are a child of God, and God loves you." I remember that so clearly, and I thought my children would remember that forever. So I asked Sarah the other day, "Don't you remember that?" And she goes, "Well, kinda." Sarah is also the child who mortified her mother one Sunday by greeting Reverend Weir with, "Hey, bro, Tommy." But, you know, no one loved that more than Tom did. So you may or may not know that before he came to Asbury, Tom was at First United Methodist in Conway. And while he was there, they needed to hire a new organist. And so they found one. Young, early 20s, degree in organ performance. So most of us are out of our early 20s, but let's think back to when we were in our early 20s and had our first job. So we finished school, we've got a job in our chosen field, we're excited, right? We're a little nervous. We want to do our best, and we want people to like us, right? So one day, a note appears on the organ, and it says, "You are playing the organ way too loud." Wow. So the organist takes the note to the senior pastor, Reverend Tom, and says, "What should I do?" And he says, "Did they sign it?" "No." And he replies, "Ignore it." "Throw it away." Isn't that great advice? I think it is, because, you know, if we want to criticize someone or something, let's own it. There's a nicer way to get our message across than a snarky anonymous note, isn't there? Oh, and by the way, the name of that young organist was Diana Brandon. So aren't we glad that she was encouraged to remain in Christian music ministry?
Amen.
Yeah, I am. I also remember a sermon Brother Tom preached here at Asbury. I don't remember the year, and I may have some of the details wrong, but this is my recollection. The sermon convicted me and stayed with me. It encouraged me to do better. He related that a fairly active and involved church member had made an appointment to talk with him. And she expressed her appreciation to him for her time at the church, but told him that she and her family were going to be moving their membership because at this stage in their lives, they felt that Asbury just no longer met their needs. So Brother Tom wished them well, but he also mentioned that, in fact, Asbury or any church in the body of Christ does not primarily exist to meet our needs. We often get that wrong, don't we? And I've certainly been guilty as well. We hope to meet all people's needs, but the goal of our church, our mission, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So do we as laity come to serve or to be served? Do we come to minister or to be ministered to? I think that's a challenge to all of us as lay members of this church. We are the church. We sang it last week during Children's Sabbath. Remember, the church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. You know, I love the sanctuary. I've worshipped here many years. It was designed by my good friend Jerry Wilcox. All my children were baptized here. My daughters were both married here. My granddaughter was baptized here, and my grandson will be soon. I've had many joyous times in the sanctuary. I have mourned people who have died in the sanctuary that were very dear to me. So it's a special place. But this white church on the hill that we think of as Asbury is really not Asbury. We are. So let's remember who we are. We're the laity, but that means that we're in ministry as much as any member of the church staff, right? As Christians, we're all children of God. And God loves us, so we should love God, love people. The end. Amen. Please stand now and join in our hymn of commitment, number 593. It's "Here I Am, Lord." Who knows this hymn? Who knows this hymn, right? We've sang it many times. So I have a request. I have done something out of my comfort zone today, and I'm probably going to ask you to do something out of your comfort zone today, and I know the choir will do it with me. You know, I've sung the song for many years, but I heard it one time when one of my children was at Camp Tanico, and it was especially meaningful to me for one simple reason. When they got to the refrain, the part that starts, "Here I am, Lord," every single camper raised their hand. And I'm going to ask you to do the same when we get to the refrain today. Let's see how we do it. You know the choir? couple of weeks ago even swayed for us, right? So if they can do that, I think we can raise our hand once, okay? So let's sing 593, Here I Am. Thank you all for worshiping with us today. If you happen to be a visitor today, please come back. I promise I will not be giving the sermon again for a long time. And as we go, you know, one more time, remember who you are. Love God. Love people. So receive this blessing, please. And I forgot to ask if anyone wanted to come forward and join the church, but Pastor Doug Walker is here today and can receive you if you wish to join. So receive this blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.